kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I understand.
Get the most out of those coupons.
You know it.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode 202. Still coming down off that episode 200 high, I guess, huh?
Well, I mean, considering what we're doing for it, like the contest, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Which, by the way, the contest has still only kept growing since last week.
I'm not surprised.
Like, I don't even remember where we left off last week. I think Virtual Air Guitar with their three pack of games was the most recent, right?
I believe so. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure.
Well, just to add to the goodness, we have Zinus, who did the Dreamals game.
Oh, my okay. God.
Yeah. Bean is climbing me. My back hurts. Oh, Bean. Oh, God damn it. She's perched on my shoulder. Yes, jump in the bed with the other cats. Fuck, that hurt. All right, well, Zinus, we have a copy of Dreamals Dream Quest on the PS4 from them, so that's a fun addition.
Cool.
Ninja Egg, you remember when they were on the show, right? The game Cube?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we have a copy of the game for the Xbox One.
Oh, shit.
The game's not even out yet. The game is not out yet, and it's in the prize pack.
It's almost getting out of hand.
I mean, granted, the game will be out by the time we pick the winner.
Sure, but it's currently not out.
The code is sitting in my list of games. It's Defiant Development, chipped in a copy of Hand of Fate for Steam.
Cool.
Adam Rippon came through and hooked us up with Dragon Fantasy Book 2 on the 3DS.
Oh, shit.
So we finally have a 3DS game in the prize package. Handy Games, who we're going to be reviewing one of their games later this show, they chipped in three games. Super Party Sports Football, which we reviewed on the show in the past, and Dynamite Fishing World Games, which we're reviewing today.
We will talk about.
Both on the Xbox One, and then Aces of the Luftwaffe for the PS4.
I have no idea what that is.
And then finally, a donation courtesy of the SML Podcast, a.k.a. me, Lictum Battle Mage for Steam.
Cool.
Because I bought a bundle, and it came in there, and I already had it. So that's a $40 game chipped in for free.
Man, this is getting, it really is getting out of control. That's a lot. Like, so what is that up to? Like,
48 different donors.
That's ridiculous. 48. That's absurd.
I'm going for 50, man. I want to fucking hit 50.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you need two more then, right?
I think we could do it.
I'm sure it'll happen.
I think we.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen.
Going down. Shit is gonna happen. And speaking of shit happening, we are already up to 16 emails.
Oh, geez.
With contest entries. Granted, 1, 2, 3, 5 of those are from Aleshon, who was just running with his SML gag on Facebook that carried over into the email contest.
That's hysterical. I love just checking some of the random stuff that he's been putting on Facebook just to see how many times he's going to try and like sneak in some SMLs. Like it's
and like really everyone funny. Else is following suit and doing it.
Yeah.
And then, I'm getting emails from people I've never seen email our show before. So that's pretty awesome to see. I think some of them might've come from, Adam Rippon shared the post.
Ah, yes.
I noticed that some people were just commenting in his Facebook post with suggestions. Like, that doesn't count. You have to email us.
You have to email. Like, that is the one stipulation.
Yeah,
well, that and you know, if you do reside outside of the United States, anything physical, we're not going to ship. But if you want to ship it and you want to pay for the shipping, then we would consider that.
Yeah.
So,
but for the most part, like, just, you got to email us. That's the only way you can get your entry to us. That's the only way we're accepting your suggestions. Oh my God, there's two Ians in the chat.
Too many Ians.
It's an Ian party. But, shit, I should introduce that you're here, Chris.
Hey, I'm here.
probably should have mentioned that, huh?
Hey guys, I'm here.
In case you couldn't tell, Chris is here. No guests this week, at least not yet. We, at the end of our little chatting, we are going to have an interview with, Image and Form, who just released SteamWorld Heist on the PS4 last week, the week before, one of those. But, I'm scheduled to chat with them tomorrow and just tack it on to the end because editing, I guess.
Yeah, that's what you can call it.
And it's better than just cranking out two episodes in a week. Better serve just going together. Especially because I'm going away this weekend, so the less work for me, the better.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm jealous.
I am going to Stonefest.
Yeah?
Yep. Going to visit Aelshan.
Stonefest.
See my long-distance friend, Amel.
Yeah, see my long-distance friend. I like it. Funny.
So anyway, let's just dive into things here. Let's tackle some news. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do the news first, because this is always the thing that we can kind of just riff on for a bit.
Yeah, we're gonna come out swinging with the big news up front. Xbox One, Xbox 360, Games with Gold for July has been announced.
Okay.
And it's pretty good.
Okay.
A lot of people on Reddit are bitching and whining because they're not, you know, like Dead Rising and Rise, but whiners. For the Xbox 360, from July 1st through the 15th, you can get Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. It's kind of a bummer for the people who, you know, bought got them free, but from the 16th through the 31st is Tron Evolution.
You know, I never played that, actually.
But that is an interesting choice. I've been kind of, like, looking for that one at GameStop when I would visit to be like, oh, well, that one's on the list. I should look for that. And now I don't have to.
Well, there you go.
The Xbox One, two brand new games. Starting on July 1st, The Banner Saga 2.
I never played Banner Saga.
Well, it's like a hand-drawn, turn-based strategy RPG.
Okay.
And the first one was very well-received. It was supposed to launch on, I think, like, the 26th of July, and we're getting it on the 1st.
Oh, damn.
So, early release and free.
Cool.
For gold members. And then, from July 16th through mid-August is going to be the game Tumblestone, which most people that I've seen online have just whined and cried about this one because it is a puzzle game. People are saying, oh my God, it looks like a fucking mobile game. Ugh. Every single bit of preview press that I've seen from people who've actually had hands-on time from PAX or conventions are saying the game is incredible. It's finally an original new puzzle game that's not just ripping off another game.
Well, that's exciting.
So I am eager to check that game out and see what it's all about. But yeah, those are the four games. Games with Gold, July. Good stuff.
Yeah, I actually don't have gold right now. So I wouldn't be benefiting from any of it.
Well, time to get gold.
Yeah, I need to just nut up and get it already. Same thing with, I need to get, EA Access again.
Yeah, that's always good. And see, you need to get gold because one of the games we're going to talk about next week on the show called Full Mojo Rampage. It's like Binding of Isaac meets Diablo. It is nuts, and it's online.
It's online?
Yes. So get yourself some gold, get yourself full mojo rampage.
Man. Shit gets expensive. God damn it.
Hey, I know the pain. I just picked up Resident Evil 5 and Inside because we got turned down for Inside. I'm sad about. Friggin' Shiz Blacka got a copy of the game, but we got turned down.
Well, tell him to do a review for it.
He's probably just gonna like stream it one time, get pissed at a hard puzzle, be like, fuck this game, this is a piece of shit game. And then go back to playing Rocket League, which I can't blame him, it's Rocket League.
I want to play Rocket League more often.
Dude, have you seen any of the reviews for Inside yet?
No.
It has been getting ridiculous reviews. The lowest I've seen has been an 8.
Interesting. I'm assuming that's an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. No, 8 out of 100, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Getting tons of 10 out of 10s, 5 out of 5s, a lot of high scores. I think Metacritic sitting at a 92.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it comes out tomorrow, Wednesday, whenever you're listening. 2 days ago.
It comes out 2 days ago.
It's out now. And I got... Or something sold, yay. Trying to get up to $15
dude,
so I can get
need
Darkest
to
Dungeon.
Do that. You need to send me a link to what you're using. I need it.
Will do. It's just idle master.
I need it.
It's baller.
Sounds like it.
But yeah, more news. We'll keep it on the Xbox news for a little bit. Xbox Fitness is getting discontinued.
I'm shocked.
A lot of people have been using it. The in-game store is closed right now. As of June 30th, 2017, all content will be unusable. Even the workouts that you paid for. I think that's shitty to do.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
There's a lot of people who are like pissed off trying to demand that Microsoft look into some way to like remove all the online functionality for it, but let people use what they paid for.
Right.
Because those workouts were expensive.
I can imagine. I can only imagine.
Pricey shit there. So I would like to see Microsoft do something so that people can continue to use the workouts that they paid for.
Yeah, I think that's kind of bullshit.
It is definitely a shitty move to kill the whole thing. It just seems like they're doing everything they can to ignore the Kinect as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Kinect is a bad peripheral. It just, I mean, if it's not selling stuff, it's not selling stuff. You just, you know,
there's actually a new Kinect game coming out this month called Frew. So I'm hoping that we get to cover that one. That looks pretty neat.
We shall see.
Indeed. Xbox isn't the only company doing some shitty stuff right now. You're going to be shocked by this, but Sony has been in the news.
Yeah, what'd they do this time?
They banned some guy's account because the account name was iJihad. And the guy's legal birth name is Jihad.
Well, here's the thing. A buddy of mine got banned for his name a couple years ago, too. And it wasn't anything vulgar. Like, it wasn't... It was just... I don't know if they thought it was some sort of slang that he didn't know about or something like that, but they straight up like just he had to pay to change his name on his own account.
The thing like, is they don't have name changes on PlayStation.
Well, I forget what the hell he had to do, but like they made him pay to do something to his own account because they were banning him.
Huh. I haven't heard anything about being able to pay to do anything. Sony initially said that they were going to allow him to create a new account and transfer his purchases over to the new account because they don't have any way to just change names in the system because Sony fucking ass backwards. But a second representative stepped in and said, no, the ban stands, despite the fact that he like jumped through hoops, proving that it's his like legal birth name on his birth certificate. Because, you know, up until a couple years ago, jihad didn't have the same connotation that it does now.
Right.
So yeah. This guy kind of got boned.
I mean, it's... I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, well, it's just a fucking name, so if you got to change it, then just change it and just whatever. But just the fact
that... Which he was like, okay with, it, and Sony was going to do it until the second rep was like, no, the ban stands, you're... of shit. So clearly it got picked up by news sites and on Reddit and everything else, and due to the heavy scrutiny, Sony eventually went back and decided that yes, he can have his purchases transferred to a new account. So there's kind of a happy ending in the fact that, you know, he gets to keep all his purchases, but he loses all of his year's worth of trophies, all of his game progress, all of his friends that he's made online.
That sucks.
Wouldn't it be That's nice horrible. If you could just change your name on PlayStation?
Yeah, I mean, like
on Xbox.
Why the fuck isn't that an option? Like, well, what I'm trying
Apparently
to remember what the
how
hell happened
they
to
programmed
my...
their whole online account system is that changing the name would fuck everything up, which makes no sense. Especially when there are situations like this where, like, just fucking figure it out. People have been demanding name changes for years on PlayStation.
Yeah.
It's what, like a 10-year-old account system now?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
a 15-year-old kid who made a gamer, his Sony tag of, you know, Bong Smoker 420 XXL... He's 25 now, and he still has Bong Smoker 420 XXL as his PlayStation ID. And now, thank God, Xbox people bitch that, oh, I have to pay $10 to change my gamer tag. At least you can.
Yeah, right.
So if like, Microsoft deems that you have an inappropriate gamer tag, like Cunt Smasher 12, they will just change it to a generic name. And then it's up to you to pay $10 to not pick something stupid this time.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, we know what Sony logic is like. I mean, they probably, when they were making their entire infrastructure, they're just thinking like they overthought it and just like didn't even take into consideration that someone would ever want to change their name.
Maybe
they were just like, you know, well, they'll have to think about it very hard before they choose their name.
They're starving people on Sony who only wish they could change their name. Now eat your damn vegetables. Thanks, Ian.
Ridiculous.
Very ridiculous. Let's see some other news. Umbrella Corp. Have you heard of this game at all? The new
negative.
Kind of Resident Evil-ish game.
I assumed.
It's kind of like, I don't know if it's a first or third person shooter game, but it's like a straight up action shooter game.
Okay.
The game released last week, and already on Steam, there's under 100 players an hour.
Wow.
The peak, the highest amount, was 419 players in one single hour.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I don't know what kind of stats it has on PlayStation, and Capcom, for some reason, didn't even release it on Xbox, and given how the reception is, I don't think we'll ever see it on Xbox.
I guess not.
And given the reception, it doesn't sound like we're missing out on anything.
I guess not.
Yeah, so all the goodwill that they've earned with Resident Evil 7 was completely ignored when Umbrella Corp came out. People don't want that. They want a classic Resident Evil, and hopefully they see the great reception that Resident Evil 7 got, and they just remember to keep Resident Evil scary instead of bro shooter.
We'll see. I mean, that's I have never had any genuine interest in Resident Evil at all, except I watched like the first two movies or three movies or something like that, and I'm just like, eh, all right, sure, whatever. Like,
you should try Nemesis 5.
Was cool, but
you should try Resident Evil 5.
5?
Yeah. It's basically an online co-op shooter. It's not scary at all.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot eventually.
It's a good one. I only ever played 5 on the 360 with someone online. So I picked it up hoping to find someone I could party up with for the game on Xbox One.
Well, there you go.
Some more news to excite everybody. It is official that in 2017 there will be a new Sonic game.
Shit. Is it gonna be good?
Who knows? More details will be announced July 22nd. Batman Return to Arkham, set to release late July, has been delayed indefinitely.
Not surprised.
Apparently, all the bad feedback from people who have seen the trailer for it are, maybe they're taking that to heart and fixing whatever shit they gotta fix.
I mean, I'm glad that people are taking into consideration, like, putting a delay on a shitty game. Because I think I would rather just
port in general.
Yeah, I think I would just rather, I would rather see them put the time into it, make sure that what they're putting out is completed.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing these games where it's like they release, there's so much shit broken, there's so much stuff that doesn't work, and then you essentially have to wait, like, almost a year, if not more, just to get the game to where it was supposed to be when it was released initially. Like, it's just absurd. I'm over it. I'm done.
Speaking of things being broken, Torbjorn Overwatch is getting nerfed on consoles only.
So, all right. So what's going on with Torbjorn on the console version?
His turret damage will be reduced 30%.
His turrets don't even do that much. Well, I mean, I guess they could do a lot of damage, but...
Yeah, and they're saying the only reason that they're nerfing it on consoles is because consoles don't have the kind of precision aiming that you can have on a computer game with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess they're just nerfing it because it's going to auto-lock quicker than someone on console is going to be able to... aim.
Yeah, the turrets basically have precision aiming that the players won't have. They're dropping the damage.
I mean, I don't really understand. Like, I guess I understand the logic, but if you play the game that it's meant to be played, it won't matter. I say that just because, like, if you haven't played Overwatch extensively yet, it's basically just rock, paper, scissors in multiple formats. So, like, when I hear somebody say, like, oh, like, Bastion is completely overpowered, there are so many characters that shit all over Bastion. Like, but you have to know how to play them, and you have to know how to approach that character. Like, for example, we'll take Bastion again. If you know that Bastion is fucking you up, you can use, like, Genji, and you could just straight up run right in front of Bastion and then just reflect all of the bullets back to him and melt him instantly. Like, it's super simple. Or you could use, like, Pharaoh, and you can just fly above and just, like, I think it's, like, two or three rockets, and Bastion's dead. Like... There's plenty of characters that you can use in a smart, strategic way that I don't feel like certain characters, just because a player base isn't as good, like, they're only going to do the nerf on that because they're saying that the precision isn't there. Like, I think you could still figure out a way to get around it. Like, I don't really understand the.
No, I don't. I guess it's because you've been playing it on PC as opposed to console.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, like, again, like, all right, so his turret. So they're nerfing the damage of his turret. You can easily just, like, strafe out, fire a rocket, like, let's just say, like Junkrat, okay? You strafe out around a corner, fire a grenade, strafe back. By the time you go out, shoot, and then come back, the turret's not going to hit you. And you'll be able to do enough damage that you can take out an entire turret. So, like, that's why I think it's kind of dumb when they only do nerfs. Like, if they're only doing nerf on the console version because they're claiming that the, you know, precision isn't there. Like, I understand that the precision isn't there, but I don't feel like that's a valid excuse to nerf someone only on that. You know what I mean?
I don't know. You're like, you're the Overwatch player. And I guess Ian's the Overwatch player as well. I'm not, though. So. I'm just reporting the news.
Well, right. I mean, I'm just discussing the news. I don't know. I mean, I can, again, I guess I
guess console players had enough of an issue that they're just nerfing it on console.
Yeah. I mean, I don't play it on console, so it doesn't affect me really.
It's always shocking to see Ian have an opinion on a current game because I sometimes forget that he does play Steam. we'll talk about like 90% of the games on this show and he's like, I don't know what any of these. Hey, Ian, do you have Sky Hill on Steam?
We'll find out in like 15 minutes.
Last bit of news that I have is WWE 2K17 cover star has been announced.
Sure.
Brock Lesnar.
Good. Could they just like remake Here Comes the Pain then? Like, can they just do that? I'd rather take Here Comes the Pain than any of the newer shit that they've been pumping out.
I want Fight for New York back.
I don't know. I wish they would just make a good wrestling game. I'll never be interested in a wrestling game again until like they change practically the entire thing.
Like, yeah, that's why I want Fight for New York back. That game
that'll never happen.
Game was amazing. That game was the centerpiece of so many of my old parties.
It's a good game. Oh, actually, here's a little bit of stupid news that I can tell you. I played in Ohio over the weekend, and in Ohio there was this place that had like a small little arcade. Now there were not many games in this arcade. There was an Area 51, so you can already tell the type of like caliber of games we're going to talk about here. So an Area 51. There was a I think it was Cruisin' Exotica.
Nice.
Daytona 500. the first one, because there was actually two of them,
Daytona.
I think.
Daytona!
Yep. Only one of the cars worked.
Rolling Stone!
There was, Guitar Hero Arcade.
Interesting.
And then the piece de resistance, War God.
Oh my God.
and my God, this game was fucking awful. It was really bad. I mean, like, I sat and played it for like, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes.
God.
But the whole time I'm just like, wow, I can't believe this is a fucking thing. Like, it's, like, this is painful. Like,
that was not a good game.
No, it was really bad.
Yeah, it was.
But I took a picture of it. I'll post it on my social media later if you care to. Like, it was actually in really good shape. The cabinet was like, it was pretty legit, but man, the game was not. So yeah, that's a little bit of thing that I did on the weekend.
Nice. So should we dive into reviews?
I suppose we shall.
Because we do have a handful of them.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First up, we're going to finish what we started last episode by talking about Heart and Slash, developed by A Heartful of Games, published by Badland Indie. It released June 24th for $19.99. We talked about it last week where basically it's a fast-paced third-person action shooter. The best way I could describe it is like Mega Man Legends and Binding of Isaac hooked up.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. I haven't had a chance to play it myself, but it looks like a lot of fun. Looks very fluid.
Oh, it's very, very fast moving. I still have issues with the camera, but I've gotten used to it a lot more. The game can be tough as nails, but it's kind of following in that Binding of Isaac style where the roguelike, you're just unlocking new equipment to use in further playthroughs. You're not really building up your stats.
Yeah.
And like in Rogue Legacy, how you could build up your stats and get stronger. So it's more about learning how to handle the different enemies that you fight and come in contact with. I finally did get past that one boss that was kicking my ass. I actually had a really, really good run going in the game. And out of nowhere, I got hit with this weird glitch where my character just started sliding around the stage and I couldn't do anything.
No.
And it hurt my soul.
No, that's unfortunate.
The game is still, it's awesome. The soundtrack is fantastic. The visuals, it has a very, very old school, like, I don't want to say PS1 because it's much better looking than a PS1 game, but it just has that feel to it.
Yeah, like almost like a slightly better than a 64.
Yeah, like early 3D style, but it looks good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Very blocky. Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think it looks really, really good.
Yeah, the game's fun. There's some good, funny writing in it, especially during the tutorial stuff. I dig it. For $20, some people might be on the fence about it. I'm going to give it a try it, watch someone play it, see if it looks like it's your kind of thing. I dig it. I enjoyed it. So I'm going to give it a try it. And definitely buy the soundtrack, if nothing else, because the soundtrack is... Oh, so good. I'm actually going to play that stuff at the end of the show.
Cool.
It is baller.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I like everything that I've heard from it. I ended up adding it onto my Steam wish list.
Nice.
So, all
right, next
I'm probably going to check that one out.
Nice. Nice. Next game is called Into the Belly of the Beast, developed by Lucky Brograms with a B. Published by FPS Visionary Software, it released June 22nd on Xbox One for $16.49.
It's such a random number.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like a wrong price or if it's going to be updated or what.
They got like just a shit contract with like whoever their publisher was.
That's just the info I have, so I don't know if it's like, oh, well, that's a mistake. We'll change it to like $14.99 or something. This game reminded me a lot of like Flow on the PlayStation.
Okay.
You're controlling like an organism traveling through a body.
See, you know what it kind of reminds me of? The very, very beginning of Spore.
I never played Spore.
You totally should. You would actually really like it. it's fun. I might actually like play it again. I've been thinking about it. So basically in Spore, you start out as like a very, very like tiny organism and then work your way up to eventually you're, you know, doing colonies and then you like space travel and it's fucking nuts. But anyway, the very, very beginning stages of the game, you kind of start off where you're just kind of like traveling through as this little parasite-ish kind of thing. And that's what this reminded me of, but this looks obviously way better. And it's not at all like Spore. Yeah. Well, as the game progresses, but the very, I'm just saying when I saw it, that's what I was reminded of.
Yeah. The main gist of the story is that you're a sea worm and your children were swallowed by a sea monster and you got to get your kids back. So it's like Finding Nemo, but inside a monster.
Yeah. Sort of.
Everything is broken up into different stages, so it's all stage based with the hub world. You go through the stages, you can collect different DNA that can change your abilities in the game. There's green and there's purple. Purple kind of makes, the main ability with that one is that enemies will fear you if you use the ability.
Okay.
And the green one lets you move faster. Clearly you got to solve some puzzles by like hitting switches, traveling, getting through areas. You have, trying to think, just so many games that they're all just blending together anymore.
Yeah, right.
When you choose which DNA that you're going to collect, like if you're stocked up on purple stuff, if you eat a green one, it will just remove the purple.
Oh.
So you can only be one or the other.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of neat.
And you have to, like, whatever the puzzles are coming up, you have to be prepared and be which one. There's also the different enemies in the game. Like, if you're full of the purple DNA and you come across purple enemies, they won't touch you.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they think you're one of them.
Oh, that's neat.
But the green dudes will come after.
So it's like you can kind of swap between them and be a little bit more strategic.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, but mainly it's a lot of exploration. I would say it's like a platformer, but you're swimming, so there's no real platforms.
It's like you're only doing water stages.
Yes.
And it's a platformer.
With puzzles thrown in there.
Yeah. That's cool.
Like an action puzzle game, something like that. Visuals are nice. The atmosphere is nice. It's played in a 2D style. I dig it. It's fun. It's not going to be for everyone, but I like seeing unique stuff like this on console.
Yeah, I agree.
And it just, even if you just like look at screenshots for the game is just.
Oh, it's very, yeah, it's a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one another try it just because it's not going to be for everyone, but I really dig it.
Cool.
Next up is called Monochroma, developed and published by Nowhere Studios. It released June 24th for $9.99. This one has a bit of history to it. It started off on Kickstarter to be a PC game, which clearly it's available on Steam. Originally, I believe it released in 1999, so it's nice to see the price lower on console. It was supposed to come to basically everything. Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, Wii U. I think they were even planning for an Ouya version.
Oh my god.
Everything else got canceled. Except the Xbox One.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there were even reports that they were canceling the Xbox One and going with the Wii U instead. But apparently that didn't come to be. They said PS4 is not completely out of the question, but you know it depends on how well it performs on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, it is very similar to something like Limbo. It's black and white with just touches of red through the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like it. I think it looks fucking really, really nice.
Yeah,
I like the idea of just adding in the one, like just the red.
Yeah, I love just visually unique games like.
Yeah. And it looks, I tell you what, there are a lot of parts in this game that you just look and you're like, wow, that looks so cool. Like,
there's some really cool moments through the game as well. I recorded a clip and I have it on my profile on Xbox where you're going through a tunnel in the one area and and you have to walk and then drop through. There's a hole in the floor and you have to drop through and grab a wire down there to continue on. Mm-hmm. And at first I didn't know, like, I saw the hole there. I'm like, do I have to jump over this? I should prepare to jump over this. I had the volume low, but I wasn't paying attention. I should have had the volume up because there was a train horn. Just nailed by an oncoming train.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It plays similar to a more puzzle-oriented Limbo, where Limbo was a lot of like
platforming.
Trial and error platforming.
Yeah.
Like, you had to die 40 times just to get through an area until you were like, oh, that's what I had to do. With this game, while you can die frequently, depending on what you're doing, it's not really a game where you need to die to figure it out. It's just a lot more common sense style puzzles instead of guessing trial and error puzzles, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Like, for example, the one area you have to, you're basically carrying your brother home.
Okay.
Like, through different areas, and you can set your brother down in lit areas. The one section, there's three different blocks. Two of them, if you have a weight on one, it raises the other.
Okay.
And the third one, you had to stand on it and drop through to move a light to one of the boxes. It'd set your brother on there to raise the other box so you could jump up, push another box down to keep where your brother is so you could pick your brother up, jump back up the way you were, climb over, and continue on.
Cool.
It's just a lot of good puzzle stuff. It's not a hard game. Like, I'm sure there's going to be some areas that might stump people, but for the most part, it's just all about a good story. And it's one of those stories
that looks gorgeous.
Yeah. It's one of those stories. Like, there's no text in the game. It's all just a visual story, and it works. It works really well. For $10, buy it. This is definite buy it. I hope my information's not wrong and it's $20. Let me double check.
It says 20 on Steam.
Yeah, but I believe the Xbox I wish I could check because, like, I already have it in my account, so it...
Well, if I look at it on the Xbox app on my Windows 10, it should tell me, yes?
Think so? Xbox One, it says $9.99, so... Yeah, I don't know why it's $20 on Steam and on Xbox One. I don't know if it's, like, a sale... For the launch, I don't know, but for $10, this is a definite buy it.
Totally.
Good stuff. And some fun achievements and collectibles and too.
Well, that's always good.
Next game is called Lost Sea, developed and published by East Asia Soft Limited, released June 29th for $14.99. This is basically you're stuck in the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
You're on a ship and you just wind up on an island. Tutorial stages, basically you learn how to control the camera, you pick up a machete, and you explore. The islands are separated into anywhere from, like, depending on the size of the stages, like 6 to 12 segments. Like, what is it? Catan, where everything is like hexagonal shaped.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the stages are laid out.
Oh, interesting.
So there will be like, we'll just go with an early stage that has six of them. Basically, your port will be at the first one, and then it's all randomized on where there's going to be exits to new areas to all the different ones. You have to collect tablets, which you take back, that allow your ship to travel to new island. And it's somewhat board game styled, where you move a certain number of spaces to different islands until you get to a boss.
Interesting.
Combat is basically hack and slash, top down hack and slash game. You can find different castaways that have different abilities, like Some of them are able to pick locks. Some of them can repair bridges. Some of them can dig up buried treasure. Some of them make you stronger or give you extra experience when you kill enemies. There's some of them that revive you if you die, and you're going to die, trust me.
Yeah, and it's permadeath too, isn't it?
Yeah, and once you die, basically you die and you start over. It's a roguelike, which is like the new popular genre.
Which I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah, I dig it. It's another one where like nothing really, like there's no permanent upgrades to the game.
Okay.
But to make it easier, depending on how far you get, I think it comes down to, I know one of them is based on how many tablets you picked up. I forget what the other, I don't want to say modifier. What it comes down, like with the other stat that gives you a bonus in your playthrough.
Okay.
I can't think of the word. Too tired for this.
I understand what you're talking about. But
based on how many tablets you get and whatever the other thing is, it will give you bonus currency and experience for your next playthrough.
Okay.
So getting further in the game will reward you so you can get further your next playthrough.
Makes sense.
The game is fun. The game is grindy. I do have a couple of gripes with it. First off, I wish the camera, like, it could be adjusted high and low. You can only rotate it around you. You can't fix the angle at all, which kind of, it makes some things harder to see. I wish there was more variety in the segment layouts.
Like the tile sets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like their positioning, that'll be randomized all the time, but just the number of tiles, different tiles. Like, it was only a couple, maybe 2 or 3 hours in, and I was like, oh, it's this tile again, or, oh, it's right. This one again. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to get ambushed here, and then there's going to be, someone to rescue over to the left, and then two over to the right, and then there's going to be a tablet up top, maybe a chest off to the side. It got very predictable after a while, but it was still fun to play.
Well, that's good.
I think my longest run, I got to the third world in like 2 hours or so. So I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there was more variety to
it. Yeah, that's the one thing that kind of like becomes a problem with some of the indie games that have the procedurally generated stuff. Like, you know, games like Diablo have a much larger team so that, you know, the randomization of their tile sets is done in a much more like interesting way so that they, you know, you don't really notice the tile sets as much. But when you start playing, like I've noticed a lot with certain indie games, like you'll go into a procedurally generated thing and it's, you're really only getting, like, yes, it's procedurally generated in the fact that you don't know what order you're getting them in, but there's still only certain rooms and certain things that you can go through. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think the sophistication of Diablo's system is a little bit more interesting. Like, it's very difficult to predict. Whereas in an indie format, it seems, you know, to be a much bigger hassle.
Yeah.
So I've noticed the same thing. And I think certain games, can, you know, it can be a hindrance more so in some than others. Because I don't really see it as much of a problem in games like Rogue Legacy, but I actually did start to notice that same thing in 20XX that we talked about last week.
Where after so many runs through, you're just like, oh, it's this level again.
Right.
This section of the level again.
Right. To be honest, I mean, obviously 20XX is technically still in development, so, I mean, you can't really hold it against it too much, but yeah. You see what I'm getting at. I think, like you said, you know, as long as the gameplay is good and you're still having fun while you're playing it, you can kind of like ignore it sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely something you could have fun with, but it's not something that you can marathon for 10 hours because, like, for me, that 2 hour run, by the time that 2 hour run I died, I was like, yeah, I'm ready for this run.
Yeah, right.
Just because it just felt like it was just the same. It got harder. The enemies were tougher. They did more damage, but it still felt like it was just the same.
Uh-huh.
For $15, I'd give it a try. It's a lot of fun. It is very addictive. I have gone back to it numerous times for a long time each time. Some people it's just not going to click with. And if you're an achievement hunter, avoid it.
Well, that's good.
The achievements in this game are absurdly grindy. I think one of them is like there's bushes that you could cut in the game because of course there are. Sometimes they'll drop like health items, so it's worth checking the bushes if you're low on health. One of the achievements is to cut, I think, 5,000 bushes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of them is to visit, and I should pull up the achievement list just to see how ridiculous some of them are. I did get one for using 50 of the healing trees, so that was a nice one.
Well, I mean, you gotta heal.
Yeah, very true. There's one, I want to say like 10,000 gold you accumulate through the game.
My perception of gold in games is completely skewed from playing Diablo, so... Because I don't even... it's just numbers.
True.
At a certain point, like, I just... I don't know.
It's a lot. I'll just say it's a lot.
Yeah.
There are some good, unique achievements in the game, but again, they're all going to be grindy.
Makes sense. I mean, it seems like the kind of game that's going to be grindy, so...
Yeah, it's definitely fun, though. Though, I'm giving it a try. It's worth checking out. I don't know. I wish it had online or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
Something to almost, freshen it up.
Yeah, torchlighty kind of thing.
Yeah. Can't win them all, I guess. Here we go. Lost Sea achievement. I gotta remember what some of these big ones were. I'm like, I'm never, ever going to get...
Well, I mean, that happens
faster.
That happens to me more often than not.
Destroy 5,000 bushes, collect 50,000 experience, 50 enemies with bombs, collect 10,000 gold, which I'm only at 62%. Use 100 items.
I mean, you'll get there.
Collect and deliver 100 tablets to the table. On an easy island, you get 3. On a hard, you get 1. So those could take a while.
Yeah.
Kill 3,000 enemies.
Yeah. Again, it's grindy.
Yeah.
So you'll get there eventually if you sit and play it long enough.
Die 50 times. Get revived 50 times. Reveal 1,000 island regions on the map. And I already mentioned that you get like 6 to 12.
Yeah, definitely
not. It gets grindy, but it's fun, so I'm sure you could go back to it. Next game is called Dynamite Fishing World Games. Developed and published by Handy Games. It releases this Friday, July 1st, for $4.99. Handy Games are the guys, we talked about them earlier in that they contributed prizes to the SML 200 contest.
Yes.
Which, if you haven't entered our SML 200 contest yet, what the fuck is your problem?
You're dumb. If you haven't entered the contest, then you're really dumb.
Like, it is... Oh, my God. I literally can't even.
He literally can't even.
I need that how-to even for dummies.
But you just can't.
Yeah, their previous game on the Xbox One was Super Party Sports Football, which we absolutely loved on the show.
Yeah.
This new game is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, to say the least.
You put some time into it, so you talk for a little bit.
My throat's getting dry. I didn't put a ton of time into it. I did have a chance to sit down and at least play it a little bit just to get the idea of what was going on, which I'm still not sure I really grasped. In a good ish way, though. It's it's got character. It's different. It's interesting. It's very lighthearted. So don't go into it thinking that you're getting like a serious, thought-provoking game. This is just for fun.
Well, what was it? 2 weeks ago, we reviewed Dovetail Fishing on the show.
Right. This is not.
This is not Dovetail Fishing.
No.
This is not a fishing simulation.
No. No. This is it's barely a fishing game. It's a fishing game in the sense that you're killing fish to catch them. How you're killing the fish to catch them.
It's in the title of the game.
Right.
Dynamite fishing.
Dropping dynamite into bodies of water where fish are. Now, you're not just dropping dynamite, because that would just be too boring.
Yes.
So, there's special weapons that you pick up that give you different kind of, like, interesting, weird effects.
Which ones have you used?
There was the giant nuke.
How funny was that the first time you used it?
I picked that one first because I figured it's a nuke. It's got to do the most damage. For whatever reason, when you use it, the camera like pulls away to like outer space, showing the Earth. And what animal was?
A monkey in a spacesuit just...
Yes, a monkey in a spacesuit.
And reacts to a mushroom cloud on Earth.
On Earth.
Because you just nuked a fucking pond of fish.
Yep. So, there was that one. There's that one. What was one of the other ones that I used?
I liked the cat.
I did not use that one yet.
You just drop a cat into the water and it goes berserk attacking the...
Makes sense.
There is a sexy fish that you drop.
I used that one.
It's basically a bomb dressed up as a fish. All the surrounding fish are attracted to it, and then it explodes.
Yeah, I like that one. I used that one.
You could dump a toaster in to electrocute them.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, some of the fish, in case you were wondering, some of the fish have guns and they shoot you. Just figured I'd let you know about that little detail as well.
Just so the artwork on some of those fish isn't...
Oh, it's hysterical. Like, this game, honestly, like, it's funny. Like, it is funny. I didn't think I was going to actually find it funny, but it's funny.
But it's let's be fair, it's funny in a very stupid way.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wears that proudly on its sleeve.
Yes.
Considering your first character is a redneck, like a legit straight up redneck in a bathtub.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
There's a bunch of different boats that you can eventually pick. The second one is a bed. There's a battleship in there. There's just, oh my God,
there's a lot of unlocks, unlockable things. There's a lot of customization options. There's online leaderboards,
tournaments to go. Like, there's not much of a story mode in the game.
No, of course
not. It's just about gameplay wise, pun fully intended here, but it could be a bit shallow. Because you're basically you're going to be doing the same thing over and over. You're going to be going from stage to stage, chucking dynamite and power-ups at fish, collecting the fish, and hoping you collect more fish than your opponent.
Basically. That's it. There's
not a ton of variety in the game, but it's
fun.
It is fucking fun. It is hilarious, and it's $5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's five. It's $5.
Nearly every game on our show that is $5 or less earns a buy it, just because it's good to see people putting out games that are still cheap instead of everything being a $15 game.
But they're still good.
It's that much better when the game behind that low price is fun.
Yeah, totally.
This isn't going to be a game that you're going to, you know, you're going to marathon through, or you're going to be like, you know, you have company over. It's like, let me show you this epic tale. This is going to be something that you pick up and just fuck around with for an hour.
Yep. And then you just go, wow, this is really ridiculous. This is funny.
And it's worth every penny.
Yep.
Or you could win it in the SML 200 contest.
Or you can do that, too.
And again, if you haven't entered, just go to joecam.net and look for the post that has all the info. Because we legitimately have a prize package worth over $1,000.
It's a lot. It's a lot of dollars.
That is like
all of the dollars.
A bunch of dollars.
Yeah, it's a lot of dollars.
I haven't earned $1,000 in the past ever doing this show. I've earned nothing on this show, and we're giving away a package worth over $1,000.
It's true.
And it includes Dynamite Fishing World Games.
Yes, it's in there.
Because Handy Games hooked us up.
Ha! Pun intended, I assume.
Hooked. Ha!
I get it.
Ha!
Yeah.
Ha!
That's funny. Get it. So, what's next?
Two more games to talk about. Next up is called Grand Kingdom, developed by Spike Chunsoft, published by NIS America. It is always exciting to talk about a NIS game on our show. It makes me feel like a source of validation, I guess.
Sure.
The game released June 21st in the US, the 17th in Europe, back in November in Japan. And then just this week, the physical retail version came out. The game is $39.99 on the Vita, $49.99 on the PS4. This is a weird game, and I say that in a very good way. It is an RPG with turn-based elements and board game element.
How so, board game?
Each of the levels, basically you have to start somewhere and get to the end, and you travel the world or the area map kind of board game style, where there's paths that you can go, and your character is basically like a little chess piece that hops along the path.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Every time you move a space, everything else moves.
Oh, okay.
And you can, you know, there's like treasure chests littered along the map. There's enemies littered along the map. There's hidden enemies that you can occasionally see, like a dust cloud. You can kind of tell where they are if you're paying attention, but for the most part, you're just like, I don't know where that is. If you touch one of the opponent, I'll just call them chess pieces because that's what they look like.
Sure.
If you touch one of the opponent chess pieces, you go into a battle. And this is it's a turn-based, real-time-ish action battle. Everything comes down to having, you know, in turns, turn-based.
Sure.
But when it's your character's turn, or whoever's on your party, you can move them in real-time and attack in real-time. You have a movement gauge. When that's up, you can't move anymore. You have an action gauge, which you can attack. And once that's up, you can't attack anymore. You can chain combos. Like, if you're just mashing the button, you might miss an attack if the guy got knocked up in the air. So if you knock him up and you wait until he comes back down and attack again, you know, an in-air combo, I guess. It's fucking Killer Instinct and shit.
Cool. I'm down for that.
The battles are separated into three planes. I'm trying to think what the hell the Guardian Heroes? Like an old Saturn game, I think. It's Guardian something. I can't remember it. But it's based into three planes. The closest, the middle, and the furthest. And enemies and your characters can be on one of the three planes. If there's obstacles in the way, you could jump to a different plane and walk around it. If there's an enemy on a plane, you can jump around and go around. Of course, that uses up your movement gauge. And it's all about having good placement, finishing so that you're defending in a proper direction. And it's just the battle system is really cool and really unique.
It looks really neat.
When I was going in, I was kind of expecting it to be like a turn-based strategy kind of battle system, but it's a lot more action oriented while still being turn-based.
I like it. It's a neat little hybrid system that they got going on.
I think the best way would be like a turn-based Tales of battle system.
Okay.
Because it's the real-time action of a Tales game, but still turn-based. So you go, it's all like action or like, God, why can't I talk today? Oh, like active time battle style where you could see a layout of who's up next. Depending on how much of your action gauge you use, you can act earlier.
Okay. So
it's always good to like plan ahead. Using items during the battles can be really interesting because you're actually throwing stuff.
Oh,
like one of the characters is like a healer, but can also throw like poison bombs.
Okay.
I went to throw a poison bomb, but I didn't realize like you have to pay attention to the trajectory of the arrow. And I was really close to one of my characters and I just threw the poison at my own dude's head.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And I hit my teammate and myself.
And then killed yourself.
And you can hurt yourself in this game. You can, like, one of my guys has a spear attack, and it hits across multiple planes. And a very wide attack, so I can hit, like, two dudes in front of me, but I'll also end up hitting the guy directly next to me.
Oh.
So you definitely need to pay attention to where your characters are and what kind of attacks that your character has.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's just such a really, really cool battle system. The game, the length of the game, the campaign is just huge. There's four warring worlds or warring countries, and basically it's, you know, you're going to pick a country and work for that country because you're, you know, a mercenary, and right, you build your respect with the countries. And why not? It's online as well.
Oh, interesting.
So when you do quests, you can do single player quests, which is just you, where you can do a versus quest where you're playing against other people.
Interesting.
In Mortal Kombat, how they kind of have like the multiple factions.
Uh-huh.
When you get a faction, you're kind of fighting for dominance online.
Interesting.
It's just an insane amount of depth and longevity to this game. For $50 on the PS4, it is a buy it. For $40 on the Vita, it's a fuck yes buy it.
Cool.
The game is just
well, and super, it's a Vita game, so if you own a Vita, the fact that a game
dust
came out
it off
of Vita,
and use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game is fantastic. I can't wait to pour even more time into it. This is one of those games where after the reviews all said and done, I'm still gonna go back and play it more. Just that much fun.
Cool.
And it's just so unique too.
Yeah, it does look really interesting.
It's just, oh man. There was like 17 different classes of your characters in the game.
There was a bunch. And then it looked like there was a decent amount of customization when you're like creating your characters and stuff too.
A healthy amount.
Enough for it to be like interesting, but not like so lacking that you're like, why did they even do this?
Yeah, my four characters, I have, I'm like the fighter with the sword and the shield. I have my spear guy is named Chris, of course.
Aww.
The healer and the girl with the poison bombs is named Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another, I think the blacksmith is what I picked. Just a girl with like a revealing top on and a gigantic hammer. I just named her Titties.
Well, that's accurate.
I didn't know what else to name.
Titties. Listen, I am the worst person to talk to when you're on the conversation of character names. Because if you look at all of my character names on Diablo, they're stupid as hell.
They're all like, Croth.
No, not all of them.
There's 90% of them are Croth.
No, because I've been deleting them. because I've been needing more slots for seasonal characters. No, they're like fun bags or like, what was the one? Oh, so my seasonal monk for this month is, Shaloub.
God damn it. I still like my witch doctor that I named that one.
That one?
Witch doctor? That one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I have Ting Tang and Bing Bang.
Nice. If I make more characters in Grand Kingdom, I'll have to think of some fun names. Because you can have like six different groups.
Oh, cool.
Of parties, and with the ones you're not using, you could send off to do like errands, and they'll like quote unquote play for you online.
Quote unquote play for you.
It's God. It is such a cool, unique game. This makes me sad that NIST doesn't do more shit on Xbox, or do anything on Xbox. Really, yeah, come on, yeah, right? NIST, get your shit to. Like Psycho Pass was an Xbox game in Japan, and we're not getting it on Xbox in America. That's bullshit. Shenanigans. Come on, Nis. Hook us Xbox fans up. Damn it. Final game to talk about before we end this half of the show is called The Technomancer. Developed by Spiders, published by Focus Home Interactive. It released June 28th, aka today when we're recording, for $59.99. I have been very eager to get my hands on this one and play this one. I have had my eyes on it for months now. I'm kind of let down.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Why is that?
The game, it is a gorgeous game. First off, it is a gorgeous game.
Dude, it looks beautiful.
It is a sequel to Mars Warlogs from like last generation. I believe it's on 360 PS3. I would assume it's on Steam as well. That game didn't have the best reputation, but you could tell like a lot of effort went into it. So it was one of those, like it was good, okay. But it could have been amazing.
Okay.
And I think Technomancer is just, it's good, but it could have been amazing. You are a Technomancer where basically you're like a magic wielding fighter. It's a weird premise, but you're on Mars, of course.
Okay.
It's a big open world, open cities, open areas to explore. It's just the battles, the fighting in the game. Everything I want to talk about, it just all comes down to the battles. Because, like, there's a lot of depth to the battle system.
Okay.
But it all feels pointless. You can use four different ways to fight in the game. There are three melee formations that you can use, and then there's the magic that you can use, your Technomancer abilities. You can use a one-handed weapon and a shield. You can use a two-handed weapon. Or the third one is, I want to say, a weapon and a gun. One-handed weapon and
like
a gun.
Like a sword and a... Yeah, it looks like a sword and a pistol.
Yeah. And it just feels like no matter what you pick, it doesn't matter because the enemy is going to beat the shit out of you. It's a real-time battles. Kind of imagine something like Arkham.
Okay.
Or Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
But there's no real way to, like, parry...
At all?
Like, you can block and stuff, but, you know, in like Arkham and Assassin's Creed, there's a prompt. It's like, hey, you can hit the button now, and you can do a cool little dodge maneuver and a counterattack. There's nothing like that in this game. So it's all guesswork. And with you being this all powerful, you know, technomancer, this elite soldier, why is it that these peon enemies can just beat the shit out of you?
Well, it's always strength in numbers. I mean,
even like if your opponent has a gun, you're fucked. Guns in this game do an absurd amount of damage. There's no way to really defend against a gun. Like, just trying to dodge a bullet in the game is kind of pointless for the most part. And if you get close enough to the enemy, they just turn into one of the other enemies that can beat the shit out of you.
Okay.
You know, in games like Assassin's Creed or Batman, that, you know, it's a fast-paced combat, but it's not like all the enemies attack at the same time. In this game, all the enemies will attack you at the same time, and you'll just get juggled and beat around.
Okay.
And it just, the battle system seems innately unfair. Especially that you're supposed to be this all-powerful, super powerful soldier, and you're just getting wrecked by scrub nobody enemies.
Yeah.
Like the battle system, it's frustrating.
I'm just glancing through some of the reviews on Steam that people have put and just seeing them say pretty much the same thing.
I mean, the world itself is amazing. The exploration
Amazing.
The game is gorgeous. There is so much to do, but the battle system is just, it makes it so hard to enjoy when you have to fight in the game. Like I started playing on normal because I just, you know, I want to play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Sure.
And not even like 2 hours in, I already dropped it to easy and I'm still getting rinsed the time.
Wow.
It just, I hate saying it because I've been looking forward to this one for so long, but it's just a disappointment. I mean, if you're willing to deal with the battle system and the issues that it presents, it is a very deep and involving game. I'm going to give this one a very hesitant try it, very borderline deny it.
Okay.
Especially at a full price $60 game.
Well, right now it is currently, and this ends July 4th, but it is currently on sale on Steam for $38.24.
It may have, I wonder if it released earlier on.
I think it did.
Does it show what the release date on Steam is?
Oh, wait, no. It's the 28th.
Oh, so it's just deeper on Steam. If you can
It's 45 normally on Steam.
Interesting. Why it's so much. Oh, because it's on console. Because
it's on console.
Yeah, if I know Bound by Flame, Spider's last RPG game that they put out on PS4, PS3, and 360, that had a lot of the same gripes. Just like, it's a very ambitious game, but just the battle system is lackluster. That came out at, I believe, 50. At 50, I think this would be a little easier to swallow. $40 on Steam, I definitely say try it, but a $60 console game, it's a tough one to recommend. I say this as, this was one of my big, highly anticipated games of the year.
Yeah.
And every time I try going back to the game, it's just like a sense of dread of like, I really want to put up with just the battles and the getting beat down mercilessly.
That's really unfortunate. Yeah, it looks amazing. Looks great. It looks like really, really pretty. So it's unfortunate that, you know,
I think the one review I'm looking at says it well. It is a flawed but potential gem. If you can accept the battle system for what it is and manage it, you're going to have a great time. But I think a lot of people, it's just going to end in frustration.
I don't know. Maybe I would, maybe I'll give it a shot. Cause it's like, maybe I'll have to like watch somebody else play it and get a little bit more of an idea of if I want to give it a shot or not. Cause it does look really like, I think the style of it is where I'm kind of like drawn in, but
yeah, I think visually, my only complaint visually is the lip syncing.
Like the mouth movements, really frustrating
just,
too.
The mouth movements just seem randomized when there's words come.
That could be, well, yeah, but it is a smaller company. So I mean, like there's only so much like, you can
visually, that's a minor gripe.
Yeah.
And again, the actual exploration and the questing, and it's just satisfying except when there's fighting, and it's an action RPG. So there's a lot of fighting.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. And then I may have mentioned this before, but the game needs some kind of dead zone adjuster.
I don't remember you talking about that with this one.
I may not have been able to talk about it on the show, but there's a lot of times where like my controller, I never knew it had a dead zone issue until I played this game. Every time I would move forward and stop, my guy would just like trail off to the right.
Oh.
Yeah. Like most games, they have some kind of dead zone in there for controllers.
I remember talking about that
drift.
When I did 20XX.
Yeah. So if your controller has any kind of drift in the stick at all, you're going to cry. Again, it's a hesitant try it, borderline deny it. Officially, I'm going to give it the try it, but that's why we do the reviews the way we do, and we justify them and give the qualifiers and all that other fun stuff.
Sure. I think it makes sense.
That one was a bummer to talk about.
Well, hey, they're not all going to be winners.
So. I know. It's just, I was really hopeful for that. But hey, next week we're going to have more stuff to talk about. Stay tuned because we're going to have an interview with the guys from Image and Form, and I hope nothing falls through and that happens. Otherwise, the show's just going to end now. People are going to be like, what happened to the interview?
Or you could just like, you'll record like, hey, they didn't come on for the interview. Here's the actual ending. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to toss in some intermission music by our good friend Bob Baffy. He found the chip tune, the Game Boy version of Adam Sandler's Medium Pace. So it is real. I have it. And that is going to be the glorious intermission music. Ian unfollows for no interview. Interview tomorrow, Ian, 2:00.
Tomorrow.
2:00. Hopefully.
It should happen.
It should happen. For now, I think I'm ready to go to bed. I feel exhausted.
I still have a lot of work to do.
So to end this half of the show, Chris, do you want to end it?
Do I want to end it? I will end it with Rip Torbjorn.
Welcome back, everyone. SML Podcast 202 still. I am joined right now by, I'm going to butcher your name, so I'm not even going to try it. Do you want to introduce yourself to us?
Well, sure. It's pronounced in a very horrible way, so I'm very used to being called just Brian. Brian Sigurgeirsson from Image and Form in Gothenburg, Sweden.
So is it not pronounced Brian? What is the real pronunciation?
I'm just going to do this once, okay? And I'm all never right. going to do it again on any podcast. So it's Briauten.
Briauten.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
No, well, close to exactly.
I was just thinking Bran.
Bran, okay. Yeah, let's just do Bran.
Bran Stark is on the show. Game of Thrones. Tell me, what is it like being the three-eyed raven? How's that working for you?
He's not really three-eyed, though, is he? I think they've really skimped on the special effects there.
He's a little dickhead. Like, the entire show is his fucking fault for climbing up that tower. Yeah,
exactly. Why do you have to do that, right? So, I don't feel sorry for him. I don't.
A little dick. A little punk dickhead. Oh, right. Man.
People are dying left and right just to sort of protect him, right? It's like...
Are you a fan of the show? Do you watch the show?
Yeah, religiously.
How friggin' good was this season?
It was fantastic. And I watched the very last episode yesterday. Well, let's not spoil anything, but hey, I was...
People had 2 days to watch the shit. So if they missed out, it's their own fault. That's the way I see it.
Excellent. I was, because a friend of mine saw the last episode before I had a chance to see it and told me that it was the very best ever. And I thought that would be impossible because the ninth episode, I mean, the episode that was just before the last one.
Yeah, Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, Battle of the Bastards. It was so epic. I haven't seen movies that like make a battle scene that good, right?
Yeah, go figure that the beginning of the episode with a dragon, with three dragons wrecking shit against a fleet of ships wasn't the most epic part of that episode. Exactly.
It is marvelous, right? It's, yeah, I was very, very impressed.
It was ridiculous.
And how are we supposed to be able to wait? I mean, when does the next season start? Are they going to do this wait until April thing again? I mean,
God, probably.
You know, how are you going to do that? I mean,
it's going to hurt. My soul hurts.
It's like 10 months away, right? It's not going to work.
Already miss it.
Yeah, I already miss it. I mean, it's not right. They can't put together stuff that is this good and then expect us to sort of wait patiently for another 10 months. Yeah. But yeah, it's the best I've ever seen. I've seen The Wire and I've seen Breaking Bad, and I thought those shows were just fabulous, right? It was just so good. And here comes this thing and just blows everything out of the water. I think
of the fans of the books who like didn't know any of this stuff.
Right.
And now they're like, we get to spoil it for them now. Where's your book? Where's your better than the book now, huh?
Yeah, so is that how it works? These episodes haven't been out in book form yet?
No. This whole past season was, they pretty much kind of did their own thing because the books aren't out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is fabulous. I like that.
And then there's supposed to be two more seasons, or two more like partial seasons based on the final book, which it's never going to come.
Right. Exactly. He's probably never going to write it. Or like write it totally differently, like a completely different story or something. Sort of just like skip through the whole last seasons of the TV show in like half a chapter or something. Yeah.
Hey, I thought this past season, I think because they weren't constrained to the book, it was that much better.
So I didn't know that at all, actually. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the TV series, but I didn't know that was actually how this season, that's how it worked.
Yeah.
So, do you have your video now, or are we just going to look at my self-conscious.
I could try unplugging my camera and plugging it back in. If you just like sing to the audience while I dive under my desk, since
doobie
we're
doobie doo 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 doobie doobie doo. Right. Well, I can spoil the last episode, like, for people here. I'm just going to ask, has everyone seen the final, the latest?
All right, tried unplugging it. My camera sucks. My computer sucks. My everything. Like, oh, God. Let me go into my options to see if Skype even recognizes I have a camera hook.
Right.
Oh, I think we got one.
All right. And something's happening here. Let's see. Oh, there you are.
Yay. All right, try to get a good angle on it. Too bad it's just this tiny ass little picture in the bottom. On the bright side, I have a kitten.
All right, excellent. I have one too. My cat never does what I want her to. So here, come here, kitty. Kitty, kitty. No, she doesn't speak English.
Her name's Predator.
Is that Predator?
Yes.
Really?
Predator.
So you got to name your cats. Okay, I didn't. It's, my kids did it. So they all had, like, all my cats have had, like, really cute names that I can't really stand for. Mine is, the current cat is called Zoe.
We literally have eight of them in our house right now.
That is not normal, you know?
Yeah, we started with five. Well, we didn't start with five, but we originally had just five. And then at my mom's house, some stray had kittens. And my mom is freaking out because the mom's gone. And the cats, they're like, oh, they don't have anyone to take care of them. And I don't you have to, you're good with cats. Why don't you foster them? And we're never getting rid of them.
Eight cats. You know, it's like social services are going to come knock on your door. It's like, yeah, so.
And most of them fit a pee theme. We have Peaches, Piddles, Unk, Potato, Predator, Pork. And then to go with Pork, we have Pork and Bean. And then the last one is Coltrane, named after the character from Gears of War. Tiny little female kitten named Coltrane. So, yeah, the Predator kind of fits in line with that. We're a tiny little cute kitten, black kitten named Predator.
Yeah, exactly. That cat probably doesn't know that it's called Predator, right?
Probably not.
It thinks it's called Cuddles.
She's a cutie. The cutie patootie.
Yeah, really.
I'm trying to see if the mic will pick up her meowing. Say something. So, yeah, we talked about Game of Thrones. Why don't we talk about the reason that you're actually on this show?
Is there a better reason? Okay, so I run this. I run a game studio in Gothenburg, Sweden, called Image and Form. And I guess the reason why I'm on here is because we put out just recently a game called SteamWorld Heist that is that people are pretty happy about, actually. It's we're getting very, 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 very decent reviews for it.
Yeah, it came out a while ago on Wii U, didn't it?
Actually, it came out a while ago on 3DS. So the Wii U, everybody's asking about the Wii U version. Everyone who has a Wii U is asking about So it is coming out. Today the game is available on Nintendo 3DS and Sony PlayStation 4 and Vita, and also on Steam PC, Mac, and Linux. So it's actually quite a few platforms already. It's coming out on Wii U and Xbox One as well, and also on iOS.
And any kind of dates for my personal preference, the Xbox One version?
Right. Actually, we... Well, I shouldn't go into detail there, actually. It's coming. sorry about that. I was just about to spill a lot of beans that I wasn't supposed to, I think. But yeah, it is coming to Xbox One. Be patient, Joe, please.
Hey, we're a heavily Xbox leaning show, so I have to ask those questions. So it's definitely coming.
Definitely coming.
Maybe. Is it coming soon or a coming later kind of deal?
It is coming later. I wish I could call it soon, but how long is a soon in English? I mean, in Swedish, it's very, very flexible.
Coming soon, I would say like by the end of summer. Coming later, I would think like either later this year or early next year.
Okay, later. It's coming later.
Shit. It's so fun. I'm having a blast with it on the PlayStation 4. My biggest issue is the fact that I fucking hate the PlayStation.
What? Really? All right. Okay. Well, if you're a heavily Xbox leaning show, I should not be asking why, but or maybe I should be asking.
For the people who are longtime listeners to the show, like, I've had a saga with PlayStation. I am on my sixth PS4.
No.
Because okay, really? I've had so many defective systems.
How can you? All right. I mean,
I didn't know there
were even that many defective PS4s out there.
My first system, I had that blue light of death issue that was widespread when the console released, like within the first month. Like, yep. I was enjoying it in that first month, and then it got that blue light issue. I'm like, oh, well, you know, shit happens. I ended up getting a new one in.
Right.
That one was overheating to the point where it was shutting off on me, so I had to send that one in and get a new one back. That one, right out of the gate, had a faulty hard drive.
Okay.
The fourth one was another overheating issue. And a lot of people are like, well, why do you know, you can't like keep it in an enclosed area where I have the thing on top of my TV stand. Like, it is on top of my TV stand. There is nothing around it. My fifth one.
You can't keep it in your microwave.
My fifth one started smoking.
Really?
My wife woke up scared because she thought the house was on fire.
Right. Well, you should definitely not keep it in the oven.
and Sony refused to honor my extended warranty.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I paid for the 3-year warranty and they refused to honor it. They insisted that it only covered, like, I think the second system, because I bought it within the first month. You have the first month to buy it. Once that first one had an issue, as like, you know, given I had an issue already, I want to buy the extended warranty, the 3-year extended warranty. Like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, I have a question. Does it cover a system or does it cover me? And they insisted that it covered me and all of my units for 3 years. Okay. They told me it only covered that second system, which only lasted me like a week.
That is, you know, that's pretty horrible.
Yeah. Stupid me, I still bought another one. I mean, granted, I got the badass looking Batman one, so. I mean, but I need to have it. If I'm doing reviews on this show, I need to have a PlayStation. No one else on the show, none of my co-hosts own a PS4. None of my co-hosts want a PS4. So I'm basically, I handle everything PlayStation related, and there are games that, you know, like the new Star Ocean just came out this week. I need to have a PS4 if I want to play that.
Right. Right.
Oh, and we've already gone over the fact that my PC is hot garbage. so I can't play shit on the PC.
Okay. So let's hope it doesn't. Can you do something about that, though? I mean, like, can you cool it somehow? Like, have a fan next to it?
I actually have. I set my PlayStation 4 on top of soda caps, so it's an extra inch off the ground.
Right.
And there's still times where I'm playing games and it just gets incredibly loud and hot.
Wow.
It's just a poorly designed system. The system is too small for all the tech that's inside it.
Okay. Well,
and people are like, oh, I want a PlayStation 4 Slim. No, you don't. It'll just burn up. It'll catch fire because mine almost did.
So, all right. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And that's why I'm an Xbox fan.
I've never heard of anyone like buying more than two, or if they don't work. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's technically, like, I've only bought two. The rest were all like replaced because it was still within the first year.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's just a shitty situation. I hope I don't have to go through anymore, because people are like, "Oh, you're just a hater. You're a Sony hater." I'm like, exactly. I paid $400 plus games, plus accessories, extra controllers. I didn't buy that to just hate the thing.
Just give me a second, Joe. I'm just going to do some Swedish around here.
All right.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Hello, John.
It's Joe. Okay.
It's Joe. I'm sorry, Joe.
So that's my daughter. Can you believe this, Joe? I told her that I was going to do this this podcast with you. So she actually cooks dinner and brings it down on a tray for me.
Oh, how dare she!
Yeah, well, she's so good.
Right? That's like, awesome.
Yeah, I'm not. She's still gonna. Yeah, she's gonna remain in my will, I think. Well, at least that's.
Well, no, Ian she's, in the chat just says hi, lady. Oh man, hi Predator. So yeah, I hope the game comes to Xbox sooner than later.
It does. Let's talk about the game then, right?
Yes, please. For those who don't know what SteamWorld Heist is, give us the sales pitch on this game. Sure, I can't believe we're already, what, like 20 minutes into this, and I'm just now getting to the explain the game.
Right, well, so what it is, it's a 2D sort of XCOM Worms kind of thing. I mean, so it's a 2D turn-based combat strategy game set in space, featuring steam-driven robots who are sort of piratey of in nature. And the game is about, I don't know, Joe, how far along are you? How long have you played the game now? I mean, how many hours in are you?
I'm story-wise, I'm probably not as far as I should be, because I do a lot of replaying missions, like grinding, right, and the extra characters that I've picked up along the way. I'm like, oh, well, I got new characters. I got to level them up. I think I've put about maybe 6 hours into the game so far.
Right, okay. It's I think on average people play reach the end, because there is a defined end to the game and somewhere between 15 and 20 hours, I think.
Wow.
And we've taken a lot of pains not to make it grindy. I mean, there are games that where you spend like hundreds of hours and that still have sort of a defined end. And we never set out to do that, actually, to sort of... because I think there is only like a few games that can actually get away with doing that. So it's supposed to be a game that you actually finish. That's what it is. It's like I said first there, it's a 2D game. We've made 3D games in the past, and we're just very much in love with 2D art. I would say that we have one of the best art directors in the world in Tobias Nilsson, who does the art direction, and it's really quite endearing. And I think we're just going to keep doing 2D games for quite a while.
I just love the entire aesthetic of the SteamWorld universe. Like, I loved SteamWorld Dig. I own that on PlayStation. I own it on Xbox. I own it on 3DS. Might even have it on Wii. I have it on nearly everything because I just loved that game so much.
If there's some platform you don't own it for, I mean, I'll just send you a code, okay? Because I'm just worried about your wife now, Joe, because, I mean, the guy that...
Oh, right. Man, my wife is just worried about herself with all the games that I have.
I was going to say, yeah, right. So, yeah.
When I saw there was a new SteamWorld game coming out, I was excited. And then when I got my hands on it, I was like, wow, this is so much different from Dig, but in a good way. Like, right. It getting into it, you can immediately tell that the world is familiar. It feels like the same SteamWorld game that you loved in the past. It's its own thing. It's not just more of the same.
It certainly isn't. I mean, so we made SteamWorld Dig, and when we put it out on the 3DS first in August 2013, in the months to follow, we were sort of overwhelmed by all the niceness, you know, like people were being so kind to us, and reviews were great, and we didn't know. We had sort of planned to make two games in parallel right after Dig, because we had spent like 8 months making SteamWorld Dig, and that was the longest we had spent on any game, and it was very financially risky for us to do it. And and once it was out, we realized that if we don't sell quite a few copies of this SteamWorld Dig game, then we're in deep trouble. Let's never spend that much time on a game again. So we set out to do like two very much smaller efforts that were going to take us like three, four months in parallel. So we would have two games out after SteamWorld, like 4 months after SteamWorld Dig. But then they turned out to be not as much fun. Those two games, and also that Dig was being received so well, I started getting nervous about that. That what if we put out like two very small efforts, or one very small effort after SteamWorld Dig? Aren't people going to expect that we do something better? So we spent all the money that we made from SteamWorld Dig for the next 2 years almost making this game called SteamWorld Heist, and I think we polished every detail. Like, it's hard to measure that, but we decided to put in a lot of effort into SteamWorld Heist, and I think it shows now, because I just did some research, and SteamWorld Heist is the most recommended game on Steam.
Wow!
It's only been in terms of percentage, I should say, of course, because it's only been out for, it hasn't been out for 3 weeks yet, and we have a recommended rate of 99.5% now.
Jeez.
It is incredible. There's one guy who didn't recommend it, and then the rest of Steam sort of jumped the guy and said, now that is a lame reason for not recommending the game.
That son of a bitch. What was his reason?
It was if there is a mission that you don't, where you don't succeed. I mean, if you have to sort of abort the mission, or all your robots get killed during mission, it actually costs you water to reassemble those guys. And he thought that wasn't good.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He doesn't know. What a dick. Ooh, you fail the mission, so there's a consequence. Boo fucking who. I mean,
but
I don't want to have to like feel bad that I failed a mission. Pamper me.
But it's fine, you know. It's like, as long as it's that. I mean, as long as it's, we didn't as long as we didn't make a game that was bad, right? I mean, because that really is important to us. When we made Dig, it was for 2 years almost, we were so worried that we wouldn't be able to make a game that we actually thought was better than Dig. But we do feel that Heist is a not only a step, but for us, it was a leap forward. It was a game that is, SteamWorld Heist is a game that is it's very meaty. It's 15, 20 hours, but it's still very dense, right? It's like a thick sandwich.
And I love the fact that most of the levels are random as well. So if you fail a mission, you can't just go in and be like, oh, well, I know exactly what to do now, because it's different.
It's going to be different. Yeah. I mean, so for you guys who don't know what the game is about at all, it's like, you have your mothership, like a small rusty hunk of junk that Captain Piper and her trusted pilot Wonky sail around.
I love the names too.
And also Seabrass, of course. He's a dour old whaler. So those guys, they sort of travel around to sort of steal stuff where they can, and there are some really terrible cannibalistic robots, another faction that is, they sort of deserve to be shot to pieces. And so that's what Piper and her crew does. They sort of go out and heist these ships. So that's why we call it SteamWorld Heist. And
vigilante justice.
Exactly. It's like, is that really right? I mean, somehow it's okay, right? And they're robots, so I mean, you shoot them to pieces, you can sort of still put them back together again. So nobody really dies in this game, except for the bad guys, of course. Because they're bad guys. I mean, they don't look after their own like the good guys do.
Yeah, and they're bad, so fuck them, right?
Yeah, exactly, fuck them. So what you do is you sort of jump from mission to mission, and like the story develops with your new characters that come along, and also with sort of the new obstacles that you have to overcome. So like at first you think like there is this one faction that you need to sort of take on, but then turns out that they're sort of under the thumb of another faction, who in turn are terrified of another faction. So the story sort of evolves throughout the game. That's sort of how the game comes along. And we've, like I said before, we've been adamant about this non-grindy thing, that like the game sort of has to evolve the whole time. You're never sort of killing the same boar out in the woods or something like you would.
I'll put it out there that I didn't grind out of necessity. I was grinding out of enjoyment of the grind. Like, I was just having fun replaying missions I've already done just to see different layouts, you know.
All right.
Get some extra money or water out of it, and fun pickups, and leveling up some of the new people that I've picked up along the way. So I'm someone who enjoys the grind to begin with, but I didn't do it out of necessity.
Right, and that was sort of how you started it as well. Sorry, I just got sidetracked there. It was like every time you go to a mission, you go to like an instance on the map. It is the same mission, but miraculously, the ship that you ran into last time you did that mission has been exchanged for a similar, but not at all the same ship. So means that the room layout is going to be different, and the spawning points, etc., for enemies, and the number of enemies, that the sort of type of enemies is going to be different.
The obstacles in the rooms. I'm always happy when enemies just happen to spawn right next to explosive barrels.
Right. Isn't that nice?
That makes it so much easier for me.
Speaking of easier for you, I mean, the game also has one thing with SteamWorld Dig. When we had released that, I mean, it was a I wouldn't say that we were rookies making that game, but it was sort of like the first time that we made a game that we sort of put our hearts on the line. It was sort of, there would be no excuses after SteamWorld Dig, that this was sort of the best game that we could make at the time. And we were terrified about reviews and so on. Because if it turned out that people didn't like SteamWorld Dig, it would be like the verdict saying that we didn't really belong in the game industry. Because that's how good we were at the time. And then, but one of the things with SteamWorld Dig was that some people just thought it was, that the difficulty was just perfect in the game, and some people thought it was just too easy, and some people never got to kill the end boss because it was just too difficult. So so that's something that we built into oh, there, that looks nice. SteamWorld Dig on the 3DS. Excellent.
Yep.
So that's something that we built into SteamWorld Heist. So there are five different difficulty settings in SteamWorld Heist. And I usually play on the second difficulty level because I'm useless. And I'll never, ever be able to beat it on Elite, which is the name of the hardest setting. Which,
didn't you make the game? How can't you beat it on... But hard difficulties.
The thing is that, I mean, we have like designers who sit and tweak everything. Oh, that is beautiful too.
Got it on the Vita. I told you, I have Dig on fucking everything.
So yeah, I mean, difficulty really is. Thank you for that comment there, Tellamy Booth. It's really in the eye of the beholder. I mean, if a game that is very easy for someone is totally, it's impossible for someone else, and so it's nice to be able to it's nice to be able to sort of facilitate that you can sort of play on different levels, and the levels are actually quite, there is a jump from level to level. I can testify to that.
Nice. Ian was asking in the chat, he wanted to confirm that, like, all of Heist is randomly generated, correct? Or nearly all of Heist?
Yeah, I would say, like, all the missions are randomly generated, yeah. It means that when you go on a mission, that is going to be randomly generated. And then it's not going to be as random as something picked out of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or anything. It's like, you're not going to run into like a big omelet or something. You're always going to run into a ship.
Why don't you have giant omelets in the game? Let's talk about the real issues here.
That is really expensive to make, you know?
That's a cop-out. That's bullshit.
But yeah, so let's say that. It's randomly generated within parameters. That's probably the best way to put it. And obviously, and to be able to forward a story, it's like you'll have set worlds where the stuff is randomized, inside which the stuff is randomized. Yeah. So, but yeah, every mission is randomly generated, and when you should just check it out, like. Joe, you should go back to a mission a few times to sort of see if you can master it, because you and me are never going to get the same.
it's like, it's the No Man's Sky of 2D turn-based action platforming cover shooter.
Yeah.
Did I cover exactly everything there? Like, it's so hard to explain this game to friends, because like, SteamWorld Dig, it could be like, yeah, it's kind of like a Metroidvania, but you're digging and it's all vertically based.
Right.
How do you describe Heist? Well, it's 2D,
and
it plays like SteamWorld Dig, except it's all turn-based and it's strategy-like, but it's a shooter, so there's aiming, and it's a cover shooter, so you want to hide behind things.
Right.
It's such a difficult game to describe, but once you get your hands on it, you can just see how magical it is.
Yeah, and one thing that that you left out there that is quite important is that the because I would the easiest way to describe it sort of is to give people a point of reference. I would say that it's a 2D XCOM, but then again, SteamWorld Heist has this manual aiming and shooting that XCOM doesn't have. I mean, the aim is skill based in SteamWorld Heist, and I certainly do not mean to slam XCOM for anything. I do not really. It's a great sort of what do you call it? Like a guiding light for us. It has been. I mean, certainly, SteamWorld Heist was very much inspired by XCOM. A lot of us were playing XCOM at the time. We sort of started fantasizing about Heist or started talking about it the first time. Like, would it be possible to make a 2D turn-based shooter? And we would need an element like that, the sort of the free aiming and skill-based aiming of SteamWorld Heist. If you miss a shot in Heist, it has nothing to do with dice. It's your own fault, actually.
Yeah. Or if you're really lucky, you can get a ricochet and right. still hit the target.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, the bullets will bounce, right? I mean, they will bounce the way they're supposed to bounce. And it is, you can do that perfect, oh shit, miss. And then you hit something else that will kill like multiple people way over somewhere else. And it is so satisfying. Yeah.
I that's one of the reasons I enjoy using laser sights with Piper.
Yeah.
Is because you can just line up a great shot and right. just get that satisfying feeling of, yeah, I ricocheted that off four walls and took his head off.
Yeah, exactly. And hats are, I mean, that's good that you described that there, because hats are really central to this game. It's like you can collect hats because not everybody knows this, but steam-driven robots are actually crazy about hats. I mean, they're the worst kind of hat collectors. And so to get a hat, you will actually have to shoot it clean off instead of killing an enemy. If you kill the enemy, the hat sort of disappears. But if you shoot it clean off, then you can kill that enemy and then run over and pick up the hat. So it's risky to... It's risky business getting those hats. I mean, because you have to sort of sacrifice a shot to get the hat. Yeah. It's
where did the fascination with hats come from for the game?
Yeah, well, hats are just so silly. And we're the first ones to acknowledge that we are so inspired by so many other games, right? I mean, XCOM is one of them. It's a big inspiration for SteamWorld Heist. The hat fascination. Oh my god! I can't believe I'm just drawing a blank here. I mean, come on.
A lot of drugs went into that decision.
No, it wasn't drugs. It's the other game. It's come on.
Alcohol?
No. It's something. It's a sequel that is very popular on Steam. Come on, help me out. It's
Team Fortress.
Yes, Jesus Christ, how can I forget? Sorry, I must be.
I'm not even a Steam gamer, and I figured that out. What the hell?
Thank you. Here, I'm typing it. TF2, please. Yeah. So the hats are universal. I think it's such a ridiculous feature that it's adorable, and it's also very scalable for us. Obviously, I mean we can add so many hats to the game, and it's a perfect way also to sort of add, what do you call it, cultural references to the game. Like, I don't know if you noticed, Joe, but like the hats that you find, they have this description to them, and almost every hat in the game is a reference to another game or a piece. It's a reference to a book or to a movie or something. It's or a TV series even. So
I have to do some more hat hunting in the game.
You have to. It's the idea of the game, actually.
I enjoyed the fact that one of the trophies in the game is to pick up a hat after you've had your own hat shot off.
Right. There has to be a trophy for that. And
the first time I picked up a hat after that happened and the trophy popped, I'm like, of course there's a trophy for that.
Right. And I don't know if you're a football fan, but a real football fan, I should say, not like your wrong variety, but
American football.
American football. No, but in there is a trophy for shooting off three hats, and I guess you can figure out what that one is called, right? It's
hat trick.
Yes, of course.
Is that three hats in one shot?
That is three hats in one shot. You can do it.
Shit.
You can really do it. I mean, it isn't very easy, but sometimes they're like the stars. American hand football, I like that. Yeah. It's sometimes the stars align, or what you call the planets align, and then you can sort of get that perfect shot.
Of three people lined up together. I think that would be the hardest part.
Yeah, exactly.
It's three people together.
If you have a laser sight on your gun, it's obviously a lot easier to do that. But you sort of have to. You'll also notice, because then, like, the sight of the gun will sort of, you'll have that very short instant when you can do it. It's like a fraction of a fraction of a second. Yep.
That's fantastic. It's all about the hats.
Yeah, I could talk about SteamWorld Heist for a week, but now I actually need to go and feed the rest of my kids.
Real quick, I did want to ask,
sure,
DLC please. Just came out on the PS4 this week, correct?
Yeah.
Is there more DLC planned for the game?
Yep. And that's good that help me sell the game. Thank you very much, Joe. It's we made a DLC package called The Outsider that first came out for the 3DS. The game first came out for the 3DS, and then we made the DLC in parallel with porting it to high definition screens like PC and Mac and Linux and PS4 and Vita and what have you. So we made this DLC that features a new character, new guns, new utilities, a bucket load of new hats, and also obviously new missions and very interesting sort of game mechanics that come with the DLC. This character called Fen that comes with the game is a really interesting character, I think. So this DLC does it in a little. It does it slightly differently from other DLC packages. I'm sure it's been done before, but it sort of meshes with the game. So if you've played through the game and get the DLC sort of to play the extra content, what happens is actually you will get more areas in the save file that you already have. Nice. So it sort of meshes, blends seamlessly with the game. It sort of adds a subplot that if you have the DLC installed from the beginning and play the game, you wouldn't really know where the DLC is, where the DLC starts and the game ends. So
it's just integrated the whole time.
That's right.
That's pretty awesome. Is there more DLC planned for it?
Yeah, we are planning more DLC for the game.
Omelette DLC?
I'm making a mental note to self here. Omelette DLC. Let's see what the team says tomorrow.
For Wii U and Xbox users, is there a chance that some of that DLC might come bundled in with the game when it releases on those platforms?
That is a very good question. That is a very good question. Thank you.
I got to ask something good here and there.
Yeah, well, the thing is that... It's, let me not let's not commit to something that I'll eat up later. I'll tell you, Joe, I have a well documented history of promising too much. Okay, so it's like, but let's just be sure that the DLC content is most definitely coming to the Wii U and the Xbox as well. Yeah,
as long as that omelet DLC makes its way to all platforms. Or that could be, I know Microsoft likes having something exclusive in their right. game. Xbox One could get the exclusive omelet hat.
Let me pitch that to them. I'm sure they're happy about that.
Exclusive hats, and one of them is an omelet.
That sort of oozes the whole time, too.
Yes, it's cheese like- just drips down the side. If it flies off, it like... It gets destroyed, but it breaks up into like meat chunks and vegetables. So you can't pick it back up. Once that omelet hat is destroyed, it's just. Oh,
I have my laptop on my lap right now. I can sort of see how the camera's shaking. Oh, thank you so much, Joe.
If we could just cook omelets with the DLC, I'd be happy. Thanks, Ian.
That is wonderful.
Oh man! Well, I know you said you had to feed your family, presumably right. omelets. So I will. I guess we could wrap this up. I want to apologize again for the delays in the beginning with my computer. It has been an absolute blast chatting with you about Game of Thrones and omelets and your game. Clearly,
well, it's been hilarious. It's so the game. Let me just do this again. The game is called SteamWorld Heist. That's what you should take away from this podcast. Thank you so much, Joe. It's been a real pleasure.
Heist is available now on 3DS, PlayStation 4, Steam. What's the cost on it?
It is $19.99 at regular price. I think it has the value of a game. Twice that much. I just want to be clear on that. It's $20, but it's not expensive.
It is very worth the $20 for sure. It is the amount of content in there and just how fun the game is. It is absolutely worth the $20.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. I've got to get you back on again sometime because you've been hilarious to chat with. And thanks again for coming on. Brian is
close enough, right?
Close it's enough. Like
Brian. The next Brian. Time you're going to nail it, all right, Joe.
Brian.
We're
going to
have practice sessions first. Cheers, brother.
Thanks have a so good much. One.
Bye.
Oh, so that was fun. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to this, both parts of the episode, if you've checked them both out. Hopefully the audio's not too bad between the two versions, because I don't know what the hell's going on my end. But thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next week on the show. Peace.